Welcome in, Braves Today, bravestoday.com. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. A series win actually feels good. I know it didn't end on a good note, but it feels good to be able to take three or four, especially in a four-game series, to pick up three wins on the road before heading into, let's just call it a series that Atlanta's expected to win the series, at least take two out of three. Who knows if that will happen? We'll get to it momentarily. Lindsey, when it comes to the Braves, the numbers offensively, especially when you look at runs, and I know that some games were weighted heavier than others, but are they coming out of a funk a little bit, maybe?
I think so. Like, we saw a bunch of hits in Colorado, and granted, it's Colorado, right? You had you had 12 hits, 11 hits, and 13 hits in those three games. But two of these four games in San Francisco, you had double-digit hits as well, right? And so, and then the other two were, and I'll get to the quality of the starters in a second, but the other two were understandable why you didn't. And so it feels like it, and you did a lot of that towards the end of the series without Jorge Soler as well.
Right.
So it feels like Michael Harris coming back has been a shot in the arm. We should get Jorge Soler this weekend. We'll cover that when we get to the Angels preview. It feels like they're starting to come out of it. Orlando Arcia is hitting decently. The catchers combined are doing pretty well, and they have been. Austin Riley is hitting. Marcell Ozuna is honestly the one that feels like you're the most worried about simply because he hasn't made a lot of noise in these last couple series. And I'm pulling up his exact stats now, but like his batting average has dropped back below 300 again. And not that it's a problem, mind you, but it's just if like, I think that's kind of where you are, is if you're looking for things to be concerned about, you can say, well, okay, he went 2-for-13 with 8 strikeouts in that Giants series. Like, I'm sorry, there was four games there. I'm sorry. He went 4-for-17 in that Giants series with 10 strikeouts. And so it's like, okay, that's below his usual production. But I mean, you're kind of nitpicking at this point. I feel like the offense is playing well enough for you to win games. And I think that's all we really wanted once we realized the 2023 offense was not coming back. Just play well enough to keep us in games. And I think for the most part they have, minus some of those just absurd matchups they had to face against the Giants.
And I'm going to catch some flack for this, but I'll blame a little bit of the hitting on Ozuna with some of the calls that he received at the plate. There were a lot of balls that missed just out of the zone. They were called strikes on him. Looked like it may have thrown his timing off a little bit, because even when he squared up a couple, it was line drives into the outfield. It wasn't those deep flies that we're used to seeing. So I do wonder if that played with his brain just a little bit from a hitter's approach standpoint, because I forgot which game it was, but it was shared. I think even within the Discord, I also saw it shared on Twitter, is there were 16 missed calls, 13 of which went against the Braves. And I forgot which game it was, but that,
I want to say that was the best game of the whole series. The Chris Sale, Blake Snell game. That was the game where
it was the Snell game. Yes. I forgot about that.
Because the whole argument that I had was like, we deserved a better umpire than CB Buckner.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. It was Buckner behind the plate. And so now let's just go ahead and credit Snell. He did fine that game. I mean, he was, when I say it was out of the zone, it wasn't too far off the plate, you know, between framing and balls that probably should have been swayed. But if Snell can jump up there and grab those just off the plate for strikes one and two, well, then all of a sudden the player just becomes a defensive player at the plate instead of being able to be exactly. So, and it's funny when you broke down the runs for me, and I'm sitting there going 29 hits on 18 runs. You'd take that any series that you could get.
Yeah, I mean, 18 runs, 29 hits. And if you look at the starting pitchers that you faced, I'm going to go on a limb and say that's probably the group of the four best pitchers that you will see all season in any series. Blake Snell, last year Cy Young winner in the National League. That was game one. Game two, lefty Kyle Harrison. He was not only San Francisco's top prospect entering the season, he was on the short list for best left-handed pitching prospect in all of baseball this spring training. Robbie Ray, American League Cy Young winner in 2021. Obviously, you got to him really early. He's still on the. He's not back to perfect, to great form, or to normal form after his Tommy John surgery, but he's working on it. And then Logan Webb, who got the only win for them out of the whole series, He was the runner-up for the Cy Young of the National League last year. Like, from an accomplishment standpoint, from a stuff standpoint, and an ability to dominate an opposing lineup standpoint, that was the best pitching, like the best rotation you have faced all season. And you went 3-1 in the games with 18 runs. Now, 13 of those were in one game, but 18 runs on 29 hits. You had 10 hits in the Kyle Harrison game, and you won. So, you know, at a certain point, it's like you can be frustrated that Atlanta was held to just 4 hits and no runs with 1 walk in that Logan Webb game. But you have to acknowledge that the offense did enough for you to win games against some very good pitching all series.
Oh, that's two of the best performances that I've seen out of Snell and Webb. And we still were able to jump up and grab a win away from Snell in game one. And then Webb, of course, proved what he could do in game four. And as you just noted, respectively, that's the reason they finished where they did last year as far as their career is concerned.
1-2 in the Cy Young voting. Like, we saw why in this series, and you still won one of those two games. So
exactly. It's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com, promo code Braves. Get your 10% off of coffees, teas, flavored coffees. They're going to roast those beans as soon as you make your order, ship them directly to your door. It is plainscoffee.com, promo code Braves, 10% off. So even though there was some low scoring, one thing that kind of stuck out in my mind a little bit, and you've got an article on this right now at bravestoday.com, and that is, you know, our lucky charm as it has been through the years, and a guy that we all love, however, did not look good on his way out, and that is Chavez, who is plating more balls than he probably should, doesn't look like he's really fooling anybody, and especially got touched up quite a bit in the fourth game of the series.
Yeah, he came in place of Max Fried, gave up 2 home runs and 3 total runs in the outing. One of those runs charged to Max Fried because he put the guy on. But just, okay, the end of June, Jesse Chavez had a 1.32 ERA. The team did that all-star campaign for him. They all had the shirts from Roto, it was from RotoWare, all of that stuff. He didn't get picked. And that happens. It was a lot of closers got picked. Robert Suarez of the Padres, things like that. Since the All-Star break, though, 5.49 ERA. And the thing that stood out to me was 29 outings in the first half. He allowed more than one run twice. And the caveat there is one of those outings, he only allowed one earned run. The rest of them were unearned. So he technically only had one outing in the first half with more than one earned run. In the second half, 10 outings, he's already had 4 of those games.
Wow.
So yeah, 5.49 ERA in the second half. And when you talk about an older pitcher, a veteran pitcher, he's 40 years old. I believe he is the oldest non-starting pitcher in the league. The first thing you think about is, what's his velocity? What's his velocity look like? And I went and I pulled For his cutter and his sinker, his 2 fastballs, every like velocity by month on StatCast, all in the same range. None of that's changed. But the locations have become the big issue. And I went back and I looked at May because I thought it was the best way to kind of illustrate that as far as sample size and production. And what Jesse Chavez likes to do, he doesn't get the ball up in the zone. He keeps it down and he keeps it on the edges of the zone, right? So right there on that borderline, inside or outside, it could be a ball, it could be a strike, depending on the umpire that day, but it's not over the heart of the plate, and it's hard for you to hit. And so, like, over 20% of all of his sinkers and cutters he threw were on the outside edges of the zone, right? Side to side, not up. And I think vertically, only 10% of his cutters even reached the upper third of the strike zone or higher, right? This month, and granted, it's a smaller sample size, but his ERA is over 6 in this month. His second most commonly thrown area for a cutter or a sinker is middle, dead center of the plate. And he's also allowing, I believe it was 15% of his pitches up in the upper third. So instead of from 10 to 15%, and he's allowing a lot more over the heart of the plate, and he's not really doing a good job at getting that outer edge. They're leaking out over the plate. And his walk rate also has gone up. He's already given 4 walks this month. That's the most he had in any month all year. He already has four, and we're only 16 days in, 15 days in, and just a few appearances in. I don't know how you fix this or if it's even fixable. This could be a small sample size thing. The results are not small sample size.
Right. Right.
I mean, he's thrown 19 and two-thirds innings between July and August, and his combined ERA is 5.49. So that's not a small sample size. The location thing may be a small sample size, but I'm starting to wonder, when you have, you're already without AJ Minter, probably for the rest of the year. He's having hip surgery. Tyler Matzek's already been traded. You've taken out these high leverage guys that at different points in their careers, you have trusted to be your guys behind your primary, you know, Pierce Johnson, Joe Jimenez, Raisel Iglesias trio. You can't keep running Jesse Chavez out there in those situations. Do they try to, and the issue is they also have Luke Jackson, who has been needed to be used in low leverage situations. So do you move on from Chavez? I don't think they'll DFA him. The clubhouse loves him. He's retiring after the year. They're not going to get rid of him altogether.
Right, right.
But everybody at this point in the season is sore. You got irritation, inflammation, fatigue. Do they put him on the injured list? Do they use him only in long relief while he tries to figure it out? What do you do? Because you have very good relievers that you can call up in his place. Deisabel Hernandez in AAA is one of the hardest throwers in all of baseball. His average fastball this year, 97.5 miles an hour. His sinker is even harder, 98.1. He has the best. Wild. He would immediately have the best velocity in Atlanta's pen as soon as you call him up. He's only thrown 11 innings this year, 0.82 ERA. He allowed one run in those 11 innings. He's been closing for Gwinnett most of the time he's been down there. Do you make a move where you IL Chavez and you call up Hernandez to replace him? And I'm not going to say do a phantom IL stint. They did not do that because there's been league discipline about that. And there's been a memo going out. But is the point where the fatigue that everybody feels at the point where Jesse Chavez needs a blow to recover to hopefully be ready to go so you can have him back for the postseason? It feels like, depending on how this weekend goes, something may happen by the time they get back to Atlanta on Monday.
Well, and that's the thing is that you can kind of justify it with Velo being down. I mean, clearly his arm's a little fatigued, not to mention.
Velo's the same. Locations are off. Yeah.
And I said this the other day.
Which can also be a fatigue thing.
Right. Exactly. And I said this the other day when they got him up the inning before, he throws, you know, he's sitting there getting warm up, bullpen session, and then they sit him, and then he for Freed to come back out. And then they put him back up, and of course he throws a few more. Now, I'm sorry, but I think that has something to do with fatigue with a 40-year-old guy having to get up twice in a game. And I know people go, oh, come on, he's just getting up and warming up. At 40, that's different than the 23-year-old getting up twice and warming up.
Snitz acknowledged that before about how their goal is for the starting pitcher is where it's going well enough where you don't have to get somebody up and then sit them back down.
Right.
And if they get somebody up like that, they do try to make sure that they get into the game. Because if you get up twice and then don't get into the game, you are, in essence, already burned for that day. Right?
Yeah.
And they're going to try to not use that guy the next day simply because he was already up twice and the combined work that you did came close to a shorter length relief outing already. And so I forget which game it was, but Snit talked about he appreciated the fact, it was one of the games in the series, they didn't have to even get anybody up until it was obvious that this is going to be the next guy that is going to take, I think, the seventh inning or the eighth inning or whatever. Right. He's going to get through this inning just fine. We'll have the reliever up for the next inning. We didn't have to get anybody start to warming up without going in because of any sort of issues. And I think that's worth talking about. We don't really have a way to track relievers getting hot and then not being used, but it definitely does impact their quality and their overall usage over the course of a year.
Move on to the Angels. That'll take place this weekend. Possibly Soler going to be back in the lineup. They decided not to put him on IL. I guess he's more of a day-to-day guy. And when we mentioned pitching, this is definitely what we saw as far as All-Stars and Cy Young Award winners and second-place finishers just a couple of days ago We won't see that as a Braves fan. Unless you're going to talk about Chris Sale as far as possibly finishing up there at the top. We'll see him on our end, but the Angels are struggling just a little bit.
Yeah, so the Soler thing first. He left Wednesday's game, obviously, with that hamstring tightness. He got an MRI, didn't show any sort of serious issues. Snitker explained it to us as a mild strain. They're going to treat him up. He's day-to-day. He said that when he woke up on Thursday, he felt much better than he had felt on Wednesday. So he said, I'm not going to play on Friday, but he expects sometime over the weekend that he would be able to play. Now, whether or not Atlanta uses him or not is a different story. This does feel different from when you had the oblique issues with other guys, and I think namely Austin Riley here, where he missed 3 weeks, almost a month, and never went on the IL. This does feel a little bit different. And with me, I think part of this is he's playing the outfield for the first time all year, right? Yes. Like he hasn't DH'd once because he can't, because we have a full-time DH. Every time he's played, he's been in the outfield, and he didn't do that at all with San Francisco. And after a while, all of that running meant that when he finally turned it on for a sprint there, just probably a little bit of fatigue in the legs, a little bit of a tweak. He'll sit out for a couple of days. He might not play the whole series. Who knows? But everybody we've talked to is very confident that this is not a 15-day injury. Okay. This is, at worst, a 4 or 5 day. And if you IL him, you don't get him back until the end of the month. And you're going to need him for Philly next week. So he may play Saturday and Sunday. You honestly can probably handle LA if you don't play him at all. Because like you teased, the rotation is not necessarily the most intimidating in the world. Friday night, it's Mitchell Schwellenbach, who we love, versus Jose Soriano. He's the only one of these guys with an ERA under 5. He has a 3.36 right now and a 6-7 record. Saturday, Chris Sale versus Griffin Koenig, who is 4-10 with a 5.11 ERA. And then Sunday, Charlie Morton versus call-up Jack Kochanowicz, who has a 7.98 ERA, although granted, it's not been very many starts. At the same time, he's made 3 starts, and he's pitched a total of 14 innings. So he's allowed 13 runs in those 14 and two-thirds innings, including 3 homers, while only striking out 7. So you're not necessarily on paper. This looks like a pretty reasonable series to expect a 2-1. I never like to call a sweep because it's just so hard to sweep to beat any team 3 times. But this feels like a 2-1 series on paper. Let's see if the boys actually do it.
Yeah, I love the online chatter after the Braves get beat 6-0 in the final game, and they're talking about, you know, how bad it is and how terrible, and it's back to the old. And I'm like, they just took 3 or 4 against 2 of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, what are we doing?
One of the comments I got was like, I can't believe they're making Logan Webb look like a Hall of Famer. And I'm like, oh, you mean the guy who was a runner up for the Cy Young last year? Yeah, wild that he looks good in a baseball game.
How what are the odds spoiled of that? Have we gotten as Braves fans where you go out to the West Coast on a West Coast swing where you were out on the – you've been out there for a few days, so you know you're ready to get home and be back in Atlanta. You beat the Cy Young Award winner last year. You know, you
beat their top – one of the top lefty prospects in all of baseball.
And you hung in there with Webb, as bad as it sounds. It wasn't until late to Chavez gives up the 3 runs that all of a sudden it became a little out of reach, you know, for the Braves to be able to do anything. So it gets a little finicky from time to time. As I was happy going in, I thought that if Fried would have had just a complete shutdown game and thrown, let's just say, at least a shutout or only given up 1 run, and the Braves could have snuck in there on Webb and grabbed a couple of runs and stole that one, that would have been the biggest icing on the cake to be able to sweep the Giants. So, but you're right. What people say when they go, oh, you got to sweep them, that's not as easy as you think it is.
Bro, it is hard to sweep anybody. And honestly, Fried getting through 5 innings like he did come back out for the 6th, he was over like 60 pitches after 2 or 3 innings.
Yes.
And the fact that I had this in the takeaways, but I believe, I don't have the exact stat here, I believe he retired something like 13 of 14 batters at one point in time after those first 2 innings, and he struggled. He turned it around and he just started like mowing dudes down despite a high pitch count, despite not having great locations and not having his stuff. He really did a great job to keep Atlanta in it and get through 5 innings and come back out for the 6th. And There's not a lot of pitchers in baseball that even do that. Never mind, do that outing scoreless. So I have no qualms with what happened on that series. I think the series as a whole was absolutely a win, and I'll take everything about that.
I'll take a series win, especially going into the Angels, who have been struggling, who are missing a lot of key pieces. So the Braves now try to get to take advantage of that. I'm going to go 2 of 3. I still am like you. It always makes me skeptical to say that we're going to score a bunch of runs, because even though they're not really throwing anybody, this will be the time that the bats go in hiding before we go and face another Cy Young candidate that we end up touching up for 7 runs or something a little bit later on.
Well, also, we have Philly next week, and I have no concerns that this team is going to be looking past Philly or looking past the Angels to Philly or anything like that. But it's one of those, that's just how the baseball gods work, right? The baseball gods may be a little bit finicky with you. And they line up where we will get, if everything's the same, we'll get Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola for 2 of those 3 games next week.
Yep.
And so, at the flip side of that, the way that the rotation lines up for us, Ronaldo Lopez should be back for his start on Tuesday. He's joined the team. They said that they're probably going to wait to activate him until that Tuesday matchup. So we'll get Lopez, Fried, and Schwellenbach for those 3 games, unless they push Schwellenbach and throw Chris Sale on normal rest for game 3 against Philly, which may be what they do, and I would totally get it if they did.
Yeah, they actually, I was listening via radio the other day during the Sale game, and that was what the radio call was talking about, possibly running him off of regular rest and putting him out there whenever fits. So that's the thing. Take care of business. Get your 2 of 3 in against the Angels before you get to come home for a big homestand and take on 2 of the division rivals in Philly and Washington, because I would love to see, I don't know, what is, are we looking at, is that a seven games between the two of them? No, 6-game series. I'd love to see 4 of 6 out of the Phillies and Washington.
On the homestand. Whenever, and we have 7 games left against Philly this year. So the fact we're 7 games back, we have 7 matchups against them. You have plenty of time to make that up. I'm not worried. If you're going to do it, you have an opportunity to do it. Every win against Philly counts double in the division race.
Yeah, that's literally fantastic. So it's all been brought to you by PlainsCoffee.com. Be sure to go there. Promo code Braves. Get your 10% off. Lindsay will tell you to go to BravesToday.com, find out all the information you need. Tons of articles that will be coming up, especially over the weekend, taking on the Angels. Judging by their pitching, we'll probably have a bunch of feature stuff that hopefully will involve some hitting before
Thompson. Please don't jinx that. Please don't jinx that.
He's Lindsay Crosby. I've been Taylor. Lindsay, as always, thank you, man.
Thanks, buddy.